Woo! Cool. Very cool, guys. All right. Hey, if you've got your Bible with you, and I hope you do, please turn to, let's start in Ephesians chapter 2. All right, I gave you guys some homework. Do you remember what your homework was? You don't? What do I not have? A camp name. Are there any good suggestions? Yes. What? Baby what?
Maybe Mary.
Maybe Mary. What about just maybe? Is that better?
Yes.
All right. Anyone? Any other? Yeah.
Hill crosser.
Mary Hill, when
you cross your foot over to the desk.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Little, like turtle? Because I gave her a turtle. In the back.
Mary.
Right there. Turtle. Anyone else? Just shout it out.
Turtle.
What? Oh, no more turtles. I heard turtle. Yeah.
Turtle rejected.
Turtle, the rejected turtle. Yeah.
Harry
Mills. All right. Hey, can I give some suggestions? I wanna have some. All right, here are your choices. Turtle, maybe, or footsie. How about that? All right, so, hey, what I want you to do, if you want turtle, I want you to cheer on three. One, two, three, turtle.
Turtle!
All right, okay, some people like turtle. All right, if you would like it to be maybe, cheer on three. One, two, three, maybe.
Yeah!
Ooh, maybe is pop. Maybe's winning right now. Do we all agree?
Yeah.
Do we all agree? All right. Footsie on three. One, two, three, footsie.
Yeah!
Woo! I don't think that was even close. All right, from henceforth, I will be footsie.
Yeah!
All right, guys. Hey, guys, let's dive in. I'm just going to recap real quick and look at where we've been. We're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about what next. Sound good? All right. All right, how many kings do we have?
One.
How many kings are there?
Two.
If we choose God, we have triumph. If we choose sin, we have tragedy. Right? Can we fix our sin issue? No. But through Jesus living the life I couldn't, dying the death I should have, and giving me the new life I didn't deserve, did he take care of that sin issue? Yes. And something we talked about yesterday, where is my identity? Is there a difference between what I am and what I do? Yes, I am a what? A child of God who does things, right? I'm a child of God who does things. And then last night, we talked about this idea of there's times in our life, even though God is our king, that sin is still present in our lives, and sometimes we're going to choose sin over God, right? We're going to choose sin over God. And when we go to God and say we messed up, we call that confession, right? It's going to God and saying, hey, I blew it, and I'm so sorry. And then after that confession, we turn away from the sin, and we turn back to God, and we start following him again, and we call that repentance. And why do we do that? Because something in our life is still a big deal. And what in our life is still a big deal? Sin. And it matters how we deal with it. Guys, as we look at Saul's life and we watch this video and we see him kind of flashback over what's happened. By the way, everything that happened in that video that actually happened in real life. That whole scene where he goes to that cave and talks to that crazy lady, that actually happens. Go check out the end of 1 Samuel if you want to read about that. I don't want to get stuck there. I want to talk about kind of the path that Saul's life was on. From the very, very beginning, yesterday we talked about that there's kind of two paths and two stories that we're telling, and we're seeing them get farther and farther apart, right? One is Saul with sin as the king of his life, and one is us or David with God as the king of his life. And how far has Saul gone now? Remember last night, Saul committed mass murder, and even now he's going and doing crazy things. And again, he tries in this weird way to seek the will of God, and it doesn't work out for him. And then he starts flashing back. Did you see that in the movie? And he starts flashing back, and he starts going back to decisions. Were there some decisions that Saul made that were the things that God wanted him to do? Yes, absolutely. But Saul had this real struggle with this thing that we called partial obedience, right? Where he would do, like, God would ask him to do three things, and he would do four. God would ask him to do something, and he'd like kind of do it, and he wouldn't do all of it. Hey, give me all of the spoils. How about I give you some of the spoils, and I keep the best for me? So he had this struggle with partial obedience in his life. And as he looks back on the days of his life and the decisions he made, I think he realizes something. That through all of that, he had opportunities that he missed to repent and to come back to God. Did you see that in the video? Yeah. Guys, was sin a big deal in this man's life?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it ever a big enough deal for him to deal with it? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And how did it end for him? Tragic. And he actually does die. I just want to read this. I want to read this for you. You don't have to turn here, but this is in this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. It's verse 13. And this tells us how Saul ended, right? It gives us another account of how Saul ended. And I just want you to see what happened here. It says this. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord, and that he did not keep the command of the Lord. Did we see that as being true in this man's life? Absolutely, we did. Moving on, the second half of that verse. And he also consulted a median seeking guidance, basically saying, instead of seeking Lord, he went and sought this other lady who's basically a witch, and that actually happened, and that was crazy. Verse 14, he did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Basically, what happened is God said, I love my people too much. I love my nation too much. I love Israel too much. And this king, he will not follow me. So he has to go. And I'm going to find a king, David, who will follow me. And I'm going to raise him up. And David becomes one of the heroes of our Old Testament. Something I want you to know about David is David, just like Saul, had sin in his life. Did we see Saul murder? Yes. David's going to murder. Did we see Saul lie? Yeah. David's going to lie. Did we see Saul not follow God? Yeah. David's going to not follow God. But you want to know the big difference between Saul and David? And we looked at this last night. For David, sin in his life is a huge deal. And he's always repenting. He's always confessing. And he's always desiring to turn from that sin and turn back to God. And even though David was a murderer like Saul, and even though David didn't, there are times in his life he didn't trust Saul, David is remembered through the Bible as a man after God's own heart. And I really do think it is because he had a heart that was ruled by God, and he was able to confess his sins and admit his brokenness and be real about that with God. And David wasn't this great guy because he did great things. David is remembered as this man after God's own heart, because who ruled in his heart? God did. And God was in control of his life. Guys, today what I want to talk about, if God is truly in control of our lives, and we really, 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 really do believe that Jesus lived the life I couldn't, and he died the death I should have, and he gave me a new life that I didn't deserve, that it's going to change how we live, right? And what I want you to understand and what I want you to see today is that the God that is with you on this mountain and in this valley and was with you in these classes and is here right now through his Holy Spirit in this room is equally present and is equally powerful everywhere else you go for the rest of your life. Do you believe that? Yes. There is something special about Hume. There is. But there is something more majestic and more powerful and more special about this amazing creator God that we serve. And you can go down the hill and will you still see trees? Yeah. And you can know God created them. Will you still see stars? Yeah. Do you still have your Bible? Yeah. You still have all that down there. So stay after it. Sound good? All right. Let's walk through some stuff here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2.
But we've been there before.
Deal with it. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's finish off. So, we looked at this idea of, for by grace we have been saved. In Ephesians chapter 2:10, it's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. We talked about it yesterday with identity. We are God's masterpiece. Do you remember that? I want to read to you it again, but I want you to focus on the second half of the verse. I want you to ask you this question. Why did God work so stinking hard to make you his masterpiece? Why did God do that incredible work in you? Why did Jesus live the life you couldn't, die the death you should have, and give you a new life that you didn't deserve? It wasn't just so that you could sit around and high-five people and go, I'm going to heaven. That wasn't why. That wasn't why, and I want you to see why right now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We've been created again in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why did God do all that in my life? Why did God willingly send his son to a cross? Why did Jesus die that death and live that life and give me a new life? Because he loves us, but also so that he would rule in our lives and that he would be king of our lives and that we would take that life that the Bible calls a free gift and we would give it back to him, knowing that he has a plan for us and that he has a path for us. And in that plan and in that path, he has these things called good works, works that were ordained by him, dictated by him, that he would have us move in. Does that sound good? Do you understand that? Are some of you wondering what a good work is or why we would do them? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be in 14 and 16 here. Matthew chapter 5, 14 and 16 says this. Guys, if Jesus lives in you and the life you have is actually his and you're giving it back to him, as you live your life, what are people going to see? Jesus, right? They're going to see Jesus. He's going to talk about this idea and he's going to use the word light to talk about how Jesus is seen through our lives. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are light, you are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. Guys, have you ever been in a really, really dark place and then someone like lights a candle, like the power's gone out and someone lights a candle and then you can see, right, that you are the light of Christ. You are the light of Christ, and you are going out into this dark world, and there's going to be darkness around you. And I do definitely believe this to be true, that there is someone in your life right now, that God has that person in your life right now so that you can show him his son. It doesn't mean you're the only person. It doesn't mean that if you mess up, this person will never know Jesus. But I do think there is someone that God has intentionally placed in your life right now, that he could use you to show himself to someone else. Do you believe that? I think that is absolutely, definitely, definitely true. So why is it that we do good works? Moving on, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Your Bible might say good deeds, it's the same thing. And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Guys, do we do the things Jesus has asked us to do? Are we obedient, doing and saying and thinking the things that Jesus wants us to do, say and think so that we can be awesome? No. We are obedient. We are obedient. We desire to follow him so that his name would be praised, so that he would be awesome, so that someone might come up to me one day and go, hey, I noticed that when people make fun of you, you don't get mad and you don't say things back. Why is that? And you could look them straight in the eyes and go, well, hey, there's this guy in my life named Jesus, and he's done this new work in me, and he's called me away from retaliation. He's called me away from silly talk, right? And that now you have a testimony, and now Jesus is not just doing something in you, which he has done. Has Jesus done something in you? Has Jesus given you a new heart and a new life? But that's not the end. Jesus did something in you so that he could do something through you, right? Jesus did something in you so that he could do something through you. Guys, let's turn back to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 starts with this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. What am I? I mean, beloved child, be imitators of God. Act the way God acts. Say the things that God would say. Think the things that God would think. Be a servant like Jesus was a servant. Be an imitator of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be an imitator of Jesus. Guys, I think it's incredible that we have this really neat account. We have four of them. They're called the Gospels, of the way that Jesus lived and the way that Jesus interacted with people and the things that Jesus said and the way Jesus prayed and the way he served. And what is that supposed to be for us? An example. And what are we supposed to do with it? Imitate it, right? We're supposed to imitate it, right? Guys, if you truly believe that the life you have, that the life you've been given isn't yours and it was a gift, I think it makes it really, really easy to give it away and to say, hey, it was a gift that I didn't deserve and now I want to give it back. Jesus, you have done something in me. Now by your power, give me the strength, give me the courage, and send me where you would have me go. Did you sing that song today? God, I want to follow you wherever you take me. I want to follow you. I want to know your will, and I want to follow you. Guys, I think if that was the prayer of our hearts, do you think Jesus would use you? I think he would in a mighty and magnificent and incredible way. He goes on in verse 15 of the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, and he says this. Look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise but wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. And I want you to think about this. Are you all good at the same things? No. Are you all strong? Are you all tall? Are you all athletic? No. Do you all have the same amount of money? Do you all have the same amount of intelligence? No, you don't. You know what everyone has the exact same thing and an amount of? Time. We all have 24 hours in a day, right? We all have 24 hours in a day. And I think what Paul is reminding us here through Ephesians chapter 5 is as you look at that day and as you look at those breaths and you look at those moments that you wouldn't just be sitting in math class looking at the clock going, dear God, please let the bell ring, right? You've all done it. You've all done it. I used to work in classrooms. I see teachers nodding. You've all done it. But that you would sit in math class and you would sit on your sports teams and you would be in your band groups and you would be in your cheer groups and you would be on your dance teams, wherever God has placed you, that you would be in your neighborhood and in your families and that you would be sitting there looking for opportunities going, God, here, how can you use me? How can you use me to work through me using this life that is a gift to show someone else who you are? To show someone else who you are. Guys, I think what Jesus did on the cross is absolutely incredible. That he lived the life I couldn't, that he died the death I should have, that he gave me this new life that I didn't deserve, and that makes him king of my life, and he now rules my life, but God rules your life, and he wants to do something with your life, and he wants to use us, right? And then he calls us his followers, then he calls us his disciples, right? That God's not in the business of changing our hearts just so we could sit back in fear and not do anything and not say anything and not be used by him. But I think if we truly understand the identity which we talked about yesterday morning, if we truly understand that the first thing I am is a child of God, and within that I have a portion of his power and I have a portion of his heart and his Holy Spirit dwells within me and he has sent me places. He has sent me places so that he could use me. So that he could use me to do that other, to do another incredible work in someone else's life, right? In someone else's life. Guys, my hope and my prayer for you is that as you go home, that these things that happen here wouldn't just be a one-time thing, that they wouldn't be things that you forget as you get back into the distractions of your life, but that you would remember your life has one king, and that through that King, your Lord and Savior, you can have triumph. And that through Jesus Christ, who dealt with our sin, living the life we couldn't, dying the death we should have, and giving us the new life that we didn't deserve, that he has called us a child of God. And in that, we have new identity. But there's still going to be times in our life where we stray from him and we walk from him and sin is still powerful. But that we could hit our knees and go, God, I blew it and I need to ask for forgiveness so that we could turn back to him. And that as we follow him, as we turn back to him, that we would know that he has us where he has us on purpose and for a purpose, that he did something in us so that he could do something through us, so that he could take this child of God and he could use this child of God to work on another child of God and another child of God and another child of God. Guys, I know this is true in my life. I did not come to faith in Christ because I only read my Bible. And I did not come to faith in Christ because I only prayed. And I did not come to faith in Christ because I came to camps and I heard a speaker. I really came to faith in Christ because there were people in my life who loved me and they diligently worked to show me Jesus through how they lived. And to those men and women, I am eternally grateful, right? I'm eternally grateful that God has us here on purpose for a purpose, that he did something in us so that he could do something through us. Guys, do you believe that? Guys, I think you can go home and you can turn your youth groups upside down. I think you can turn your sports teams upside down. I think you can turn your schools upside down. I realize you all go to Christian schools, but your Christian schools aren't filled with followers of Christ. Do you realize that? I hope you do. I hope you do. And that God has done something in you so that God can do something through you. And what do we call that? We call that a triumph, right? We call that a triumph. My prayer for you is that God would be completely, fully the king of your life, and that you would boldly and courageously follow his will wherever he takes you. Can we be about that? All right. Hey, guys, we're going to pray. Guys, it's been a pleasure to be with you this weekend. Thank you. Heavenly Father, God, you are just so amazing and so incredible. Lord, we thank you for the story of Saul. We thank you for the story of this guy who at the beginning looked like he had it all together. But as we go through, we see that there can only be one king of our lives, and that for Saul, sin was king of his life, and that led to tragedy. And Father, man, if there's someone in this room who's still working on that, who's still processing who you are and why you came and what you've called them to, Father, I ask that you would just continue to move there, that you would continue to work there, and there would be people in that person's life that they would eventually come to the point of saying, I don't want sin anymore. God, I want you to rule my life. I want triumph. I want new life. God, we thank you for sending us your son, for living the life we couldn't, dying the death we should have, and giving us a new life that we didn't deserve, falling off the stage. And Lord, in that I ask that we can find our identity, that we would know that there's a difference between what you think I am and what I do. And would that come first? Not what anyone else thinks, not what anyone else thinks, and not anything else that I do, but would the first thing I be a child of you? And Father, could we be honest about sin in our life, and could we repent, and could we confess, and could we come to you knowing that there's nothing that will separate us from your love, and that we never need to fear that? And lastly, Father, would we know that you have done something in us so that you can do something through us, and that would we rest in that, even though it might be scary, even though it might be hard, we would know that the power that transformed my life is being used through me to transform other lives. And Father, we ask that our prayer would be, we want to know your will and we want to follow. Show us where you want us to go. It's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Well done, guys.